Everybody. So prayer is just an inexhaustible subject. I think we could easily spend the whole year on it. I mean, there's just so much that could be said and so much that could be learned. And as I've been studying for this, I feel very unqualified to talk about prayer. You know how you study something and then God shows you more and more of what He expects prayer to be, and then you realize how much you fall short, or at least I realize that I fall short. I imagine that if I would go all around and ask each one of you, do a little poll, and if I were to ask, do you think that prayer is essential to our walk with the Lord? Do you think we should be doing it? I have no doubt every one of you would say yes. You wouldn't even have to think about that. But so why don't we? Why don't we pray like we should? And why don't we pray as often as we should? What keeps us from praying? So just some things to think about. I'm going to pray again, and then we'll jump in. Father, Lord, I pray that you would do a work in my heart. Lord, I know I don't pray enough. I don't pray as I should pray. I don't always pray with a submissive heart. I don't always want what you want. My heart isn't always bent to your will. Lord, please bend my heart to your will more and more. And for each of these ladies, give us all more of a love for you. Help us to love you so much. Help us to get to the point where we just pray because we want to, not necessarily because we have to discipline ourselves to do so. Please bring us to that point, Lord. Please bring us closer to that point, as close as we can get this side of heaven. And I pray that you would use my words for your honor and your glory tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So who would like to volunteer? If I were to say to you, what is prayer? Just a real simple definition. What would one of you say? Yes. Exactly. That's what I came up with. That's really all it is. It's talking to God. It's not reading off a wish list. It's not a good luck charm, a religious practice, a feel-good activity, even though that might be the outcome. We might feel a lot better after we pray, but that isn't the goal. It might just be a repetition of stock religious phrases. Sad thing, scripture could even be used like that. You know, we all know of a denomination that uses the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6, they say at every single service, every time they do anything, they will say the Lord's Prayer. And unfortunately, I'm just really afraid that it has become a routine to them. They're not really thinking about praying. They're not really thinking about those words. It's just something that they recite. In Spanish, it's kind of interesting. There are two different words for prayer. One of them is rezar, and that's like chanting or reciting. It's like a prescribed prayer. And then there's orar. And that's actually the noun form of that is sentence. So sentences, saying sentences to God. And when we were in Argentina, I'm thinking our daughter was about 7, and she had gone home to play with a friend from school. And when the friend's dad brought Rachel home to us, he said, you know, it's really strange to me that your daughter's a pastor's daughter, and she doesn't know what it means to rezar. I thought, we never talked to her about that word, because that's not what we used in our church or at home. And so I tried to explain to him. I said, we use a different word at our church. We use orar. He was totally not interested in that. But there is a big difference, and in Spanish, it's really notable, the difference between just reciting or chanting or actually using sentences, talking to God. A good luck charm. I had a friend in high school that, to her, making the drill team was everything to her. Her world started and stopped if she made the drill team every year. So every year, before auditions, she would run up to me all breathless and say, Dana, will you pray for me, please? Will you pray for me that I'll make the drill team? And so I said, okay, I'll pray for you. And of course, I prayed for her. And then afterwards, and she always made it. And so, you know, so then it looked like her good luck charm was really working. So, and she'd come back, thank you for praying. And then you know, I'm, and then I stopped to think, does she only think about God once a year when she has drill team tryouts? So yeah, for her, it was just kind of a good luck charm. And my father-in-law, he rarely attended church. He didn't bear any fruit of being a believer, but every meal, every little bite of food that he, like if he had a little snack during the day, he prayed and thanked God. Now, it was kind of like a recited prayer. You know, God is good. God is great. Let us thank him, however that goes. God, great God. Yeah, anyway, it's that type of thing. But he did it, quote, religiously. So it was just kind of a religious practice that evidently made him think that he was acknowledging God in some way. At Wanda's funeral, I think it was her granddaughter that shared that Wanda was glad that she got to live longer so she could pray. That really touched my heart. Now I wish I could sit down and talk with her about what her prayer life was like. That just really touched me when her granddaughter said, what a wonderful thing for somebody to say about you at your funeral. So that was really awesome. I'd like for us to look at Psalm 40, verse 17. Psalm 40, verse 17. This kind of goes to why we pray, but I want to look at it now. Psalm 40, the last verse, verse 17. As for me, I am poor and needy. I think we should look at that as spiritually poor, spiritually needy. But the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, oh my God. David Pallison says about prayer, prayer is a spiritually needy person's communication with the God who hears, just like it says in this verse, you are my help and my deliverer. Whether or not you pray reveals what you believe about everything that really matters. It is submission to God's will, like we talked about last time, like Brandy gave us I hope I got this right, gave us her husband's definition of willingly arranging myself under the authority and commands of another. That's submission. That's what we're showing when we pray. We are willingly arranging ourselves under the authority and commands of God. When we pray, we're praying for his will to be done, not ours. John Piper says, prayer is the open admission that without Christ, we can do nothing. And prayer is the turning away from ourselves to God in the confidence that he will provide the help we need. Again, he is our help and our deliverer. He's promised to do that. Prayer humbles us as needy and exalts God as wealthy. It's okay if I'm poor and needy. I have a wealthy God that I can pray to, and he will deliver me and he will take care of what I need. Look at 2 Chronicles 16:9. Another thing that Pallison says, God is not looking for people to work for him so much as he is looking for people who will let him work for them. 2 Chronicles 16:9. So this is a prophet talking to Asa, King Asa. At one time, King Asa had relied on God to fight his battles for him, and God blessed him. But this time, in verse 7 of 16, it says, because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them unto your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. And then he goes on to chide King Asa for his lack of relying on the Lord. But this is the kind of God we have. He wants to give us strong support. He wants to work for us. He wants to do that wonderful work of sanctification in us and through us. And we need to allow him to do that. And then in the book that we're studying, she says prayer is the source of growth and perseverance in our spiritual life. Prayer bends our wills to God's will. Again, there's that submission to God that prayer brings forth. And I'm also going to add to that, God's word does this very same thing, and I don't think the author would disagree with me at all. God's word also is the source of growth and perseverance in our spiritual lives. God's word also bends our wills to God's will. You really can't have one without the other. And I'll get back to that a little bit later. Okay, so why don't we pray? Part of it is we don't plan to pray. I mean, how many of you have just woke up one day and say, hey, let's take a 4-week vacation. Let's just go. Now, that takes a lot of planning. Even a day vacation may take a lot of planning. You just can't get up and do it. Now, spontaneity is fun. It's fun just to say, hey, let's just go do this. But most of the time, you need to plan for something because it's probably not going to work if you don't. If you don't plan to pray, probably it's not going to happen. Laziness and procrastination. I put this one in because this is just has my name on it. So it's really easy to say, oh, I'll get to that. I'll get to it later. I'll pray right after I do X. And then you get X. I need to do Y real quick. And then I'll pray. I really will. And then you get on to something else. Or you get on your phone and you watch one Facebook reel after another. Okay. I hope I'm not the only one who does it. And you realize, oh my word, time has passed. Or maybe by now your kids are up. Or you need to go to work, or there's another hard deadline that you have to meet, a commitment, and your time is gone, and you never spent time with God. Inexperience could be something that keeps us from praying. Maybe you just don't feel like you're very good at praying, and maybe you're not, but God knows all that. I mean, there's nothing about you that God doesn't know. I mean, He knows you so much better than you even know yourself. So, it's not like you're hiding anything. Oh, I won't pray because I'm not good at it. You don't think that God knows? All right. So you need to pray. We need to participate in things we're not good at. Now, usually we tend to shy away from things we're not good at because it's not really fun to do something we're not good at. I wanted to be a seamstress so bad. My mom was a great seamstress. My grandmother was a great seamstress. My daughter's a great seamstress. And something in that gene mutation just happened. And I didn't get that gene in me. And after a while, I just, you know, this is no fun. It's just like, let me just go over here. Bang, bang, bang. You know, I'm just not doing this anymore. So we tend to shy away from things we're not good at because we don't enjoy it. Prayer is not one of those things. Keep after it. Keep after it. It will get better. Practice. You need to practice just like anything else. We don't pray because we don't pray. So it's this vicious cycle. You just simply need to do it. And you don't get close to anyone without being around them. Those of you who are married, did you fall in love with your husband because you never talked to him? You were never with him? No, you fell in love with him because you spent a lot of time with him and decided, hey, this is all right. So same thing with God. You need to spend time. You need to spend quality time or even just a good friendship. You don't become good friends with anybody by not spending time with them, by not talking to them, by not getting to know them. Same thing with God. Have lots of conversations with God. So maybe there's a distance. So if there's a distance between God and me, guess who moved? Me. God is immutable. He is unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. He's the same He was 6,000 years ago when He created the world. He'll be the same 6,000 years from now. It's always us who move. And maybe that's because we just haven't been spending time with Him. Or how about unconfessed sin? You know, Adam and Eve used to enjoy that late afternoon time with God. I think they looked forward to that. I think they'd like that time with God. But as soon as they sinned, nowhere to be found humanly. God knew where they were. But they weren't interested in that time anymore because they had sinned. They had put a barrier between them and God. So if you have unconfessed sin in your life, you need to deal with that ASAP, okay? Like right this minute, you need to deal with that. But like I said before, maybe our love has just cooled off because we haven't been talking to Him. Mark 12, 30 and 31 tells us to love our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and might. So are we obeying that command? Isn't it sad that we have to be commanded to love God? Shouldn't it just come naturally? I mean, he sent his son to die for my sin. He took my punishment for me. I don't have to go to hell and pay for my sins. So why wouldn't I just naturally love him? That's kind of tragic when I think about that. I don't know why. I've begun to really pray that my love for God will grow. And that's a good way to pray for yourself and for others as well. Pray that our love will grow. Why don't we have the love that we should? And I do not have the answer to that. But for now, while this side of heaven, I think it's going to have to be listed under disciplines, like in this book, has to be listed under disciplines. I'm just thinking about Wanda again. I don't think it's a discipline for her anymore. I just think her love for the Lord just gushes out. She doesn't have to worry about disciplining herself anymore. So yay for her. And one of these days, we're going to be there too. So when to pray? Again, you need to plan. You need to plan. When are you going to pray? Or also Bible reading too. I think those two go hand in hand. If at all possible, I recommend to pray first thing in the day. Begin your day that way. It's a great way to begin your day. However, there are many things that can prevent this. Young children may not cooperate with your schedule. Your work schedule. You know, my husband has to be at work at 6 o'clock. Some of you maybe have to be at work earlier than that. That's kind of hard to get up even earlier. I get that. And I'm a morning person, and I understand that not everybody is. So I'm not judging you if you're not a morning person. But you need to find a time, which whatever the case is, you need to try to find a time that works for you. Maybe it's right before bed. Maybe you have an opportunity in the middle of the day to spend time with God. Or maybe there's a period between homeschool and supper preparation that you could find a time. And I'm generalizing. I do not know your lives. So I'm just kind of throwing things out there to hopefully make you get a little creative and be able to figure something out. If you're homeschooling, maybe in your school day, you could schedule a time of reading. Or maybe if your kids are old enough, you could teach them how to read the Bible. They don't have to be saved yet to learn how to read the Bible. Teach them how to read the Bible. And then maybe that's the time that you could sit down and do the same. Or have them do some kind of a quiet activity and explain to them, you know, unless there's bloodshed, you need to let mommy read the Bible and have some time with God, all right? So again, I don't know your lives. I'm not trying to tell you what will work. I'm just trying to help you think outside of the box. I'm sure I've shared this with you before, but just in case it's helpful to share again, I will. God had allowed me to develop a habit early on of spending time with God. And after I had my first two babies, after several weeks, I was able to return to that habit of reading my Bible, being with God first thing in the morning. My third child was not that cooperative. And at that time, we were living in Argentina and we had a small house. It was actually at that time more expensive to live in Argentina than it was to live in the U.S. So we just had to do the best we could. It was a small house. Our youngest had to have his bed, his crib in our bedroom. I do not recommend that. Absolutely not. But it was really the only thing we could do. It just was the way it was. And so I would try to sneak out of the bedroom really carefully. I couldn't set an alarm because that would wake him up. He wasn't, see, the other two were deep sleepers. He was not. I couldn't set an alarm, but I would wake up. So I, oh, good. I can spend time with God. And so I creep out of the bedroom. And sometimes I would get as far as getting my Bible open, sitting in the chair, and there he was. And then I thought, well, maybe we can just cuddle and I can still focus. No, he was hungry. He needed this. He needed that. I stopped trying. Okay. I stopped trying for a couple of years. I stopped trying. And when we came back to the United States during our first furlough and we were at our mission board and we had a debriefing, which was customary, one of the questions they asked was, well, how's your time with God? When I had to say, well, I haven't been having one. That was hard. That was really hard. Of course, they were very nice and gracious. And are you taking steps to correct that and so forth? But that really made me wake up. Okay. Now he's older. There's really not an excuse. I really got to do it. So don't quit trying. And if it doesn't work out one day, that's okay. You know, God knows your schedule. He knows what you're up against. So I think it's appropriate to grieve and mourn over our sins, but maybe not this particular one. You don't want to get discouraged. So if you find yourself the next morning, oh boy, yesterday I didn't spend any time with God. Okay, yesterday's gone. You can't do anything about it. You can't change it. Do it today. Do it whenever you can. Don't cry or be discouraged over what you missed. Because if you keep doing that, then you're going to keep not doing it and not doing it. And then your guilt's going to get worse and worse and worse. And then it's just a big snowball and it's horrible. And you never have your time with God. So I don't care how long it's been. If it's been 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, do it. Do what you need to do to do it. Something is better than nothing. If you do it one day and you skip 2 days, okay, do it when you can. Just do it. Don't mourn over spilt milk. Just go forward and spend that time with God. Maybe you have a schedule that changes every day. You're just going to have to plan a little bit more when you're going to have time with God. Where? Find a good spot. Find a spot where you're comfortable. Good lighting, where you won't have distractions. We've lived in a lot of places, and most of those places, I can remember the little spot that I had that I spent with the Lord. Probably it's good to have the same spot all the time or most of the time. Biggest thing here, dump the phone. Okay. Do not let that be a distraction. Do whatever you need to do. If you need to silence it, if you need to power it off, if you need to put it in another room, do whatever it takes. Okay. You don't want that distraction. You can't have that distraction. So, you know, the Bible says, if your right arm offends you, cut it off. It's not talking about self-mutilation. Okay. It's just saying do whatever you have to do to please the Lord. So do whatever you have to do with that phone. I'm not telling you to throw it away, but get it out of the room if you have to, because you need to be with God and He deserves your full attention. How? And maybe you say, well, I don't know what to say. So one thing I think that really helps is listen to God first. Some people even say you should really read your Bible first and listen to what God has to say, and then you should pray. I don't know if it's that big of a deal, but if you're having trouble thinking of something to say, yeah, read God's word. The Holy Spirit uses His word to minister to our hearts. And I think actually Bible reading and prayer can just kind of dovetail the whole time through. You read something and you think of something you want to tell God, or maybe you're convicted of something. Maybe you need to stop right there and confess something, or you're reading something and you think of something that happened yesterday that you need to go to God about. Do that. I think you can just go back and forth between reading, meditating on God's word, and praying and talking to Him. Make it a conversation. Okay. It's not, nobody likes to be in a one-sided conversation. You know, if you've ever talked to a chain talker, you know, you try for a while to get some words in, you know, and they just keep talking. They just keep talking after, and then after a while, you just give up. Conversation is two-way. You need to listen to God, and then you need to talk to God. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, you could take this out of context and say, ask whatever you wish. But no, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. So if I am submitting to God's word in my life, and if I am allowing Him to bend my will, then my wishes will be His wishes. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We studied Psalm 119 last year. How fun was that? All of the expressions of praise and love to God for His word specifically. And as you read scripture, you can find something to pray to God. Like if you're reading about Abraham's faith, when he left, I should look this up, Ur of the Chaldees to go to the promised land. It says he didn't know where he was going. Thank God for that kind of faith that Abraham had, and pray for that for yourself. Give me that kind of faith, Lord, that I would just follow you anywhere without questioning you, without losing my joy. Or how about the kind of faith that he had that God would give them seed It was humanly impossible for he and Sarah to have a baby. But so thank God for that faith. Ask God for that faith. Or how about David's sin in numbering the people? There had been a direct command given. You should not number the people. Joab, his number one advisor, said, you really shouldn't do this, but he did it anyway. All right. So I should pray, Lord, please show me when I'm about ready to do that. Please help me not to disobey your commands. Help me not to go against what I know is right. Protect me from that. In Leviticus, you think, oh, well, that's kind of a gross book and everything, but there are things that you could pray about there. All the sacrifices, you'll pray that the meanings of those sacrifices would come alive for you, whether it's a sin offering, thanksgiving offering, or a worship offering. Pray that God would make those things come alive in your heart, that you can see the symbolism that God gave the children of Israel and help that come alive in your life. There's so many things, so many ways that you can pray back and forth as you read the scripture. A good devotional book can also be a catalyst to get you started, but you need scripture every day. Okay. Don't just read a book. There has to be some scripture involved for you to truly be fed. And in the questions that I gave you 2 weeks ago in preparation for this lesson, I gave some scriptures that are really good to pray for yourself as well as to intercede for others. Let's turn to Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. So, and there's so many prayers in the Bible. You can't go wrong with any of the prayers in the Bible. You can use them. So Paul said, it is my prayer your love may abound more and more. So I could pray, Lord, please cause my love to abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Help me to approve what is excellent with my life. May I be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. May I be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And you can pray that for other people. Wouldn't you like to be prayed like this? Yeah, I would. I would like to be prayed for like this. So I encourage you to do that. I mean, it's good to pray for, you know, for health, safety, jobs, do well on a test, whatever it may be. Keep praying for those things, but make sure you're praying for these real, eternal, spiritual things as well. So I've been talking about so far a concentrated time where you set aside time to meditate on God's word. You set aside time to talk to God. Now I want to talk a little bit more about how often should we pray. And I'd like to look at some of these verses that I put on your question sheet from about 2 weeks ago. If we could look at Romans 12, 12. Romans 12, 12. It says, to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. We are to be constant in prayer. And then Colossians 4, 2. Colossians 4, 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And then the last one I want to look at is 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. It's just a three-word verse. Pray without ceasing. So what does that look like? Obviously, we can't pray without ceasing. I mean, I'm not praying right this minute. You may or may not be praying right this minute. And I've heard some people explain it different ways, but I think the best explanation I've heard about that is if I were to come up to you and if I were to ask you, have you ceased sleeping? And Courtney would say, no, I still sleep, or at least she would still like to sleep. She still sleeps. She's not sleeping right this minute because I can see her eyes, all right? But she hasn't ceased sleeping, okay? Or if I would ask Phoebe, have you ceased eating? She'd say, well, no, I still eat. Well, you're not eating right now, but she hasn't stopped eating. You see what I'm saying? It's still part of her life. It's a routine. It's a habit. And that's how prayer should be for us, a routine, a habit. It's something that we do, something that we do. Let's look at Psalm 119, 164. Psalm 119, verse 164. Seven times a day, I praise you for your righteous rules. And I don't think that my prayers add up to seven times a day. Not that this is necessarily a command, but it's definitely a strong recommendation. When I was going through an extended time of crisis, a godly older woman told me, she said, pray about it every single chance you get. When your mind isn't occupied with something else, you pray about that. And I found a lot of times that I could pray, that I could fill that time with prayer. I was in Argentina at the time and I didn't drive. And so I was a lot of times walking to bus stops, walking to the train station. And then while I was on the bus or on the train, there was all kinds of time there. And I didn't have a smartphone yet. So I was able to pray. Or when you're waiting for an appointment or you're waiting in line, pray. Now, you know what I got to thinking? Now when I wait for an appointment, I'm on my phone. Not that the phone is bad. The phone can be used for good things. So please don't think that, you know, I think phones are bad. No, they can be used for a lot of good things. It's just we overuse them. And when we could be praying, maybe we should be praying instead of on the phone. So that's really been convicting to me. So just watch that. Watch the time on your phone. And then for my day, you know, I think what I should be saying quick prayers in between classes. The next class comes in. Oh no, Johnny's in this class. I should be praying for Johnny. I should be praying for how I'm going to interact with Johnny. I should pray that God will prepare me for whatever he's going to throw my way today. Cause I sure don't know. Cause it's a surprise every day. All right. Or if it's something that's hard for me to explain or an activity that's kind of hard for me to keep them corralled, you know, I should be, and I could be praying during class too. I could be praying as I'm walking toward a student to have a word with them. Now I think, you know, I should have been praying more when I was, well, I am still a mom, but when I had kids at home, I should have been praying more. When there was a behavior problem to be corrected, I should have been going to the Lord, maybe not like a full-fledged prayer, but I should have been thinking that prayer as I went to them to correct whatever problem there was or whatever it was. I should have been praying much more as a mom. Those of you who still have kids at home, do that. Pray. Pray all the time for the way you correct your kids, for what you talk about with your kids, how you teach them, how you train them, how you love them. Just pray all the time, whatever the challenges are in your life. I included the words from a precious hymn. It's an older hymn. I don't know how many of you know it. I need thee every hour. That song came to my mind this morning. And I'm thinking, you know, I should be praying at least once an hour. It may be a real short one because I have things I need to do. But I would leave you with that challenge. We need him every hour. You know, the unsaved people need him. They don't realize that. They need him for every breath they get. So do you and I. We need him every hour. So that's my challenge to you, you know, seven times a day or praying every hour or whatever it is. We need to be doing that, whether it's a concentrated time where we sit down and we're alone with God or as we go through our day. The phone connection should never be hung up. We should never push the little red icon phone that hangs up with God. The connection should always be open because we're always talking to him and we're always listening to him, which means we have to be in the word because the Holy Spirit uses his word to bring it to our minds. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Can we sing
this song? Oh, do you know it, Melissa?
Yeah. Let's just sing it. Ready?
Okay.
I need